Thanks.
We have four bills this afternoon. We're going to start with LD 1784. An act to require police departments to publish and make accessible their policies and procedures and require training of officers. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Chair VB Center, Chair Hassenfuss, and respected colleagues of the Joint Standing Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Thank you for this opportunity to present LD 1784, an act to require police departments to publish and make accessible their policies and procedures and require training of officers. This bill is a common sense step towards strengthening transparency, accountability, and public trust in Maine's law enforcement agencies. It ensures that all police departments, state, county, and municipal, make their operational policies and procedures publicly accessible on their websites and in printed form. When policies are updated, the bill requires that revisions be published within 60 days, with the publishing date clearly indicated. The importance of this measure was brought to my attention by a public defense attorney who highlighted how time-consuming and inefficient it can be to access departmental policies. Requests can involve multiple follow-ups and unclear processes. LD 1784 aims to streamline this, ensuring that everyone, from legal professionals to members of the public, has easy and timely access to the information they need. It's a practical solution that aligns with how we expect government to operate, clearly, openly, and efficiently. The public has a right to know the standards and procedures that govern how law enforcement officers operate in their communities. Greater access to these policies allows for informed public dialogue, supports consistent application of law enforcement practices, and reinforces the idea that policing is a public service carried out in the public's name. The bill also supports and reinforces ongoing training efforts within law enforcement. So it does not create a new training mandate, but instead builds on the practices already existent to keep officers informed and accountable. The requirement for agency leaders to certify annually the Maine Criminal Justice Academy is intended to help ensure consistency across departments and uphold the standards that are already part of the profession's expectations and in line with all other aspects of policy and procedure already requiring annual certification from the chief administrative officer of each law enforcement agency to the Maine Criminal Justice Academy Board of Trustees, affirming that the agency is in compliance. Importantly, the bill, through the sponsor's amendment, clarifies that none of these transparency requirements will compromise public safety or investigative integrity. Confidential intelligence and investigative record information protected under the Intelligence and Investigative Record Information Act will remain confidential, ensuring that sensitive law enforcement operations are not exposed. Additionally, it will ensure compensation for any paper copies are paid for by the requester pursuant to the current Freedom of Access Act regulations. In sum, LD 1784 strikes an appropriate balance between transparency and operational integrity. It builds public confidence in policing, ensures officers are well-informed and well-trained, and reinforces the principle that law enforcement should operate with openness and accountability to the communities they serve. I respectfully urge the committee to vote on to pass with the addition of the sponsor amendment on LD 1784. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have for me, and did want to flag for anyone in the room or listening online, the sponsor amendment is also publicly available. It was shared through your listserv, to my knowledge, and it's also shared with the testimony I presented. There's references describing what it is, but if you want the language verbatim, that is, I believe, publicly available. I thank you very much and would be happy to answer any questions now or for the work session.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Warren. What specific training or sort of investigative or policing programs are the impetus of this bill?
So there is currently requirements to have policies and procedures for every police department. The compliance requirement under this bill is what prompted that notion of if policies and procedures and how they ought to be set out, and when changes are made, what are the stipulations and what type of communication has to happen with the Board of Trustees. This is trying to do is say, include a line about, or not a line, but a portion of that training to clarify to all police agencies that they also have to put, once their policies and procedures are affirmed, that they have to be online. And then if someone from the public makes a request, that you can, these are the timelines to fulfilling that request, and these are the ways that you can recoup the costs of those paper copies. But it's not trying to make a whole new training. It's trying to fit in with what currently is the policies and procedures, regulation, and how compliance is maintained for every police department currently.
Okay. Representative Warren, could I have you speak a little louder?
Yes, please. I'm so sorry. Yeah, no. I apologize. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. As sort of a follow-up, I mean, what specific training records or policies was presumably defense attorneys looking for attaining, you know, for maybe for a cross-examination, or I mean, what kind of started this bill? Was it, you know, use of force? Was it, you know, what type of training?
Oh, well, so all I can say on that is I am a paralegal in my day job. And so helping to process FOIA requests is what I can say. But there's, you know, some police departments already have their policies and procedures online, absent the confidential information that absolutely ought not be a piece of this. But some, you know, you have to call someone up and say, can you send them to me? And some people say, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's in charge of that. And it's kind of a level of inconsistency. So that's the intent, is that in the era that we're in, most departments have a website, and we figure that kind of streamlines it. There's also the element of all the costs that are incurred in relation to the administrative overhead of processing those sorts of requests when perhaps it ought not be necessary. It probably ought be something that can be easily seen.
So, I mean, if Madam Chair, if I may, the
please.
So with Maine having the Maine Criminal Justice Academy, right? So you've got a basic, you know, the BLEPI program where you get basic police training. What types of, you know, municipal or county, you know, training specific to law enforcement is not covered under that
would be
covered under this bill? Like what types of requests would defense have of law enforcement agencies?
So what this bill would do is, when the regulations that are currently in law establish that you have to have an active and current set of policies and procedures, every police department does have to have one. It has to include certain provisions. Others are open to a lot of discernment from that particular department, that when that those regulations, that every year, is my understanding, the Board of Trustees affirms that an agency is in compliance. To be in compliance regarding policies and procedures, part of their annual certification will require them to be noticed and to, in practice, put those policies and procedures online. And then if they get requests, they need to confirm an understanding that the agency leaders have to confirm an understanding that they will provide those paper copies within the period of time outlined in the bill.
Okay.
Does that, right. Am I?
I think so. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there other questions? Yes. Senator Searway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you have a chance to talk to any of the chiefs or the sheriffs, and maybe even state police, on how often they do keep up, and also how much work it is? I know when I worked at the jail, they had, it went through whatever specialty it did. Then you had to go to the supervisor, and then it goes to another, and then it goes eventually to the chief. But it takes time.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how they do it in 60 days all the time.
Yeah, I think once they're published, once they're approved. So it's just once the approval is made, within 60 days of that approval, they would be put online. And yes, I've had conversations kind of more locally, and I also have worked with Major Stevenson to produce the sponsor's amendment to get at that very legitimate concern that we're not trying to undermine. I've also, interestingly, in my view at least, something I hadn't contemplated, I've spoken with some journalists and people in media in Maine about the kind of the hurdles or, you know, difficulty and how different the process is from one agency to another. So the hope and intention is to, even just as a, you know, in my work day to day, is to not be burdening people that don't need that level of burden. And just to clarify that it ought to be public. Although originally this bill did come from those that are part of the indigent legal services process and knowing the amount of costs that's incurred on that side of things. So the hope and intention is to kind of connect those dots and streamline it. If our agencies are willing to provide that information with both fair protections for public safety concerns, absolutely, and as well that their costs are recovered, then, and if they're willing to do those things, and you've got a variety of entities that probably ought to have a right to know and will save them time and resources, this seemed like a lower lift and seemed like something that was a fair approach, especially with the compliance entity being already established around policies and procedures more broadly, that they do annually have those communications and ability for compliance measures. So it seemed like it was a fair piece to bring forward with those really important caveats that I would not support this bill without that are in the sponsor's amendment.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions for, yes, Representative Bunker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here. I'm a slow study, so I'm looking at your amendment and trying to compare it to a bill that I had in earlier that added to the long list that the Academy has for requirements for standard policies to be adopted, written and adopted, reported to the Academy's Board of Trustees, and in fact, they were in compliance and implemented via training. I'm trying to figure out how your bill differs from the existing one that has a list of everything from use of force, police pursuits, et cetera, et cetera. How does yours differ between that one and the one that you're offering?
It differs in that it would add a provision about the way that the public is going forward required to access it. So as part of that written response and clarifying of their understanding and compliance with the policies and procedures, they would indicate that their current policies and procedures, you know, within that 60-day timeline are publicly available on a website, and then that they understand that if a member of the public comes in, they will be able to receive that. It, specifically with the sponsor amendment, there's a piece around following FOIA cost recovery mechanism. So I think it's something like 10 cents per page. But the sponsor's amendment adds to the bill as written, and the sponsor amendment is providing some additional caveats around it. But the bill as written is the piece that is focusing on the changes that would be made. So if you're looking just at the sponsor's amendment, that's not really the place where the changes are being made. It's the original bill that is making those two pieces about how the public is able to access those policies and procedures. Did I respond to your question or maybe not?
You did.
Okay.
Quick follow-up.
Yeah. Sure.
Why does not a use of the standard FOIA request not satisfy people who need access to a particular policy?
It's not that it doesn't satisfy it. It's that it's quite inefficient, that it creates administrative burden for a local agency. It creates administrative burden for folks like those in our public legal defense services, which there are limited time and resources already. So this is just an effort to make something more readily accessible that is technically accessible, but is a bit harder to access than maybe it should be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Representative Warren? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Warren, for being here. It's good to see you in a different environment than our normal EUT hangout. Just a question. You mentioned in your testimony that this was might have been promulgated by
brought to your attention by a public defense attorney. I think I heard you mention you had heard maybe some concerns or frustrations expressed by members of the press.
Yes.
Do you have any sense as to a desire or want of this by the public general, or is it just those entities?
Well, that's a fair point to make. I think the answer, I would say explicitly no, although I've not solicited broader public comment. I do think, though, that the reason why it creates frustration and why we fund indigent legal defense, for example, and in the same way why we rely on a free press, is because we all benefit from their ability to access and disseminate information and to provide competent legal counsel. So I guess it's a perspective that I have about how, if things are going well or as well as can be, do we hear about it explicitly? Do I think even before bringing this bill forward, or it was made aware to me from criminal defense attorneys in the public legal defense, I wouldn't have even known the level of work that went into certain things like reporting on the Lewiston shooting, for example. So there's just a level of nuance in people's professions and the time it takes to do that work. And then the work on the other side, the work from in a particular department or agency to share that information and to make it more accessible to the public. And I think partly in their type of work, both an average criminal defense attorney and maybe a member of the media doesn't have that thinking of like reaching out and saying, oh, you should change this policy. But when it's proposed, I say, you know what, that actually would help make my job easier. And I feel I'm doing a public service. So that's in the aim that they are intending to do a public service. I would say yes. But yeah, to be frank and clear, I've not talked to anyone who is outside of a profession of public service that sort of has some direct implication with this bill. I have not explicitly. It doesn't mean that they don't exist, but that wasn't the impetus for this bill.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Yes, Representative Bunker.
Thank you. I'll try one more. I'll play devil's advocate just a little bit. I'm pleased that my hometown police department is one of many who have gone through a professional accreditation on their program, to which many of that is assuring written policy procedure directives are there and clear and have been implemented through training. I'm very proud of that group. But as I look down through that material, again, playing devil's advocate, I see many of the written procedures touch on some very discretionary decisions that officers need to make. And some of them are very clear operational issues. And I'd ask you to respond to the question if, depending on how clear are those, could someone bent on violating the law use those to circumvent their agency if they knew some of those internal operational decisions that might be made?
Yes, and that's something I talked about with Major Stevenson. There's a whole section of law, in my understanding, and it's kind of known as the Confidential Record Information Act, that there are a few of the policies and procedures outlined as every department needing to have a written policy about, but that should not be public. The bill, as I originally wrote it, didn't have any discretion around those issues, but I was very fortunate that I heard from him and that the major informed me about the consequences of that and what some of these policies, broadly speaking, look like. And they have to do with protecting in the event of, God forbid, of something like a shooting, of how that would be, immediately addressed. And these are things, broadly speaking, that someone with nefarious aims would benefit from. And so I couldn't agree more that information needs to be protected. I do believe it's protected in the sponsor amendment. And if you have more thoughts about that, I'm absolutely open to them. But it's quite a comprehensive section, and I think it addresses that very legitimate need. What I'm trying to get to a top line is that when defending a client in court, having the policies and procedures of a particular agency is really fundamental. It's really important to provide a competent legal defense. And we kind of have longstanding issues around providing that competent defense. So the notion that this would help streamline access that ultimately is received, it just requires that it requires both parties to spend a certain amount of money and to go through a certain amount of hurdles that I think is probably not necessary. But that concern about the safety, I don't want to put anyone in harm's way, and I don't want to give anyone that shouldn't have this information. I completely agree with the Confidential Record Information Act, and that's why I find it so important to have shared it with this committee and with the public as a sponsor amendment to this bill. But it's certainly not trying to help someone gain access. And the current Freedom of Access Act has exemptions that protects from that information becoming public. And I think that's as it ought to be. And I thank you for that question. I share that deep concern.
Is there a question here?
Yes, that's within the Confidential Record Information Act. It's a title of statute, and it's referenced as one of two changes in the sponsor amendment to this bill.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody who would like to speak in favor of LD 1784? And we still don't have anybody else online. Is there anybody that would like to speak against 1784? Is there anyone that would like to speak neither for nor against 1784? Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody. Senator Beebe, Senator Representative Hassenfuss, and honorable members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. My name is Major Tyler Stevenson, and I'm providing testimony on behalf of the Maine State Police and Department of Public Safety, neither for nor against LD 1784 as amended. As written, this bill aims to require all state, county, and local law enforcement agencies to publish and make accessible their policies and procedures on public accessible websites, to provide copies in paper form to members of the public as requested, and ensure that all law enforcement agencies receive orientation and training on the policies. The Department of Public Safety believes that the transparency of police organizations is important to fostering trust and confidence of the people we serve. The Maine State Police currently has 161 policies, and all but 24 of these are posted on our publicly accessible website. The 24 policies that are not posted on our website are authorized to be restricted for public release under Title 16, Chapter 9. Disclosing these policies would provide investigative techniques, security plans, or provide information that could endanger law enforcement or others. It's essential that law enforcement agencies are able to provide clear policy directives to their officers while protecting specific tactics, investigation techniques, or security plans. If these policies became publicly available, there would be a risk of endangering officers or the public, and disclosing this information could empower criminal behavior. I've communicated these concerns with a sponsor who's been very receptive and agreed to submit an amendment to exclude policies and procedures protected under Title 16. Another concern of the original draft is the mandate for law enforcement to provide printed copies and policies and their procedures free of charge at the request of a member of the public. Depending on the frequency, this could become burdensome and costly for police departments, especially departments with limited staff. The sponsor indicated that language from Maine's current Freedom of Access statute will be added to the amendment, which would allow a reasonable time frame to complete the request and an avenue for the departments to recuperate some of the costs associated with the request, which we support. On behalf of the State Police and Department of Public Safety, I appreciate your careful consideration of these issues and thank you for your time. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Major Stevenson. Are there any questions for the Major? Yes.
Briefly, Thank you, Madam Chair. Major Stevenson, so what agencies, so it sounds like the State Police is doing this. I just pulled up Portland's, a series of policies. Do you have an understanding of maybe some of the other policing agencies in the state, or if they're already doing this?
I haven't had any communication. I was hoping that chiefs of police would be here.
Yeah.
I think it's going to vary. I think the larger police departments with more administrative staff that are able to update the websites, policies and procedures change all the time, whether it's new laws or better training. It may become difficult for smaller agencies to do that. And then to provide paper copies. So if someone walked in and wanted all our policies are publicly available from the state police, it'd be over 1,000 pages. Yeah. So you need time, and this Department of Public Safety can absorb that, but a small town, that might be more difficult. So I can't speak specifically for them.
Okay.
But I do potentially see a hurdle for some of the police departments with five police officers working there.
And then the reason I ask is I really don't have a sense of, you know, what agencies are, you know, making website, you know, available training policies and whatnot. So thank you.
Are there other questions for Major Stevenson? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to speak neither for nor against this legislation? There's still no one online, right? Okay. Seeing none, I will close this. The next bill we're looking at is LD 428, an act regarding the State Forensic Service.